6 minutes past 12. This is the Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line through to 1 on 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, if we have no positive cases today, it'll be 3 days since the last one. Wow. As of 4:05 yesterday, there have been 14,023 tests. 14,014 of which have been concluded, 9 people awaiting the result of a test, and 61 people waiting tests at the moment. And we'll come on to the situation as regards the Isle of Man and COVID and the 14-day test, not the 7-day test anymore. But in the meantime, I just want to say thank you very much indeed yesterday. It was our first out and about at the schools of the Isle of Man. We were at King William's College yesterday, and what a pleasure it was. Rory McAnally, Ava Troitler, Sophie Long, Ben Block, Juana Voitu, Rhys Donnelly, Elias Kohler, Lauren Ratheva, and Ben Holligham were on the microphone yesterday, and interesting to hear their points of view, and also the situation that there was at King William's College when they were forced, literally instructed by the government, to close down their boarding houses, and all the international students straight away were taken in by families on the Isle of Man. A sensational esprit de corps. Good to hear what they had yesterday, and we'll be around to the other schools as well. Very shortly as well. The worsening COVID-19 situation in the UK has meant another change to measures on the Isle of Man. Chief Minister Howard Quayle provided an update at the media conference yesterday. Alex Watton summarises.
In what's becoming a formulaic, once again, weekly conference, Mr Quayle hit us with the latest change to the current rules and regs.
Clearly, the situation in the United Kingdom and further afield is serious and deteriorating. This is reflected in the number of cases we are detecting in residents returning and key workers coming to the Isle of Man. It will come as no surprise when I tell you that the Council of Ministers has determined that we will remain at level 4 of our borders framework. Now is clearly not the time to loosen restrictions. But we must ask ourselves, are the measures that we currently have in place enough to protect our island and our community, given the exponential growth of the virus in the United Kingdom? I can announce then that the option to have a test on day 7 of self-isolation will be withdrawn for anyone arriving on the island after the last flight and ferry this Sunday, the 11th of October. Residents returning to the island from Monday onwards will be required to self-isolate for the full 14 days, what is known as the gold standard in preventing the spread of the virus.
So, once again?
The option to have a test on day 7 of self-isolation will be withdrawn for anyone arriving on the island after the last flight and ferry this Sunday, the 11th of October.
This, perhaps unsurprisingly, sparked further questioning from the media on what would have to happen for a border change back to stage 5, i.e. full lockdown.
Now, obviously, there are further steps that we can take to tighten up on those procedures. At this moment in time, family members can still move around the community. If we see a worsening of the situation, then obviously we're going to have to revisit that rule. So that's the first next step. Obviously, if we have cases in the community, we've got clear procedures in place where we'll bring back an element of social distancing, the voluntary wearing of masks on public transport. And we'll obviously reiterate all that should it happen. Hopefully it won't, but it will be incidences in the community. We have fully accepted that once you allow island residents to leave the island, some of them will inadvertently bring it back, and our procedures that we've put in place have caught all those people that have brought it back so far. And if people continue to respect the rules and regulations, we will be fine. But sadly, should it get into the community, that's when we would have to make a significant change, and then obviously we will discuss that with you straight away.
Other headlines from this briefing were on the now infamous Doncaster 5 key worker welders that were jailed for stopping at Tesco on the way to their accommodation. The Chief Minister explained what work they were required for.
The specialist job that the key welders do is that effectively they put an explosion around the two ends of a railway track. Now, that is something that doesn't happen on the island, and they have their helpers that come over and help them do this procedure, who were the apprentices. So we don't have anyone who has dealt with and probably doesn't have the health and safety insurance as well to deal with the explosive side of the materials that are wrapped around the rails in the special procedure to join them together. So, yes, obviously we are reviewing this, and if there are any loopholes that we haven't spotted, then of course we will. But I have satisfied myself that whilst they were apprentices to an exceptionally rare and specialist procedure.
Mr. Quayle ended the conference on a more optimistic note that he hoped restrictions could be eased in the not too distant future.
I hope that going forward the UK get their numbers down and we can move to level 3A when it's safe to do so, to get our family members that are unable to see loved ones on the island. But sadly, we can't do that at the moment. The risk is too high. We're not moving from borders 4, and we are having to reintroduce the 14-day quarantine because of the doubling of infections and more in the last fortnight in the UK and especially in the northwest.
And if you'd like to see a minute-by-minute breakdown of the conference, you can visit our blog at manxradio.com.
And I just wonder what your opinion is. Do you think the government's done the right thing, bearing in mind what's happening elsewhere? Thoughts? Text, email, you can call and talk about it as well. Obviously, that weekly media conference is back on the agenda every Thursday. And that was yesterday's. Just a quick note, by the way, you heard in the news with Ewan, the high street fashion chain in the UK, Edinburgh Woolen Mills, filed a notice to appoint administrators affecting 24,000 odd workers. And as well as owning Peacocks and Jaeger, they also own Tinwall Mills. So we'll be keeping a very close eye on what the situation is at Tinwall Mills. That's the Edinburgh Woolen Mill filing a notice to appoint administrators, which is not the end of the world. It just means they're appointing administrators. It's a business formality. But obviously the situation, which I think Edinburgh Woolen Mills only bought Tinwall Mills less than a couple of years ago. But we'll see what happens there. Lots and lots of reaction on the text and on the email as well. A note in, Jack says, not having the 7-day test option will improve the number of COVID cases on the Isle of Man. What's he trying to do? Is he hiding the number on the island to keep borders open? Surely people are paying for these themselves. So why does removing the option seem a helpful measure? I'm confused, says Jack. A note in from, lots about the welding. Shall we get the welding? Yes, we will. Regarding thermic welding on the MER, this technique's very old, first used in the UK in 1984. The explosion, it's not like TNT, it's a chemical reaction between the aluminium powder and iron oxide powder. A preformed mould is clamped around the rail gap and the joint is heated first. Then the crucible with the powder is placed over it. There are plenty of welders and engineers on the Isle of Man. Apparently, we're perfectly capable of training to do it. It'd be cheaper and simpler to bolt them together, surely. Well, apparently, bolting is out of fashion. Apparently, you thermic weld, and the way the rails are laid helps with the expansion. They don't have expansion joints anymore, so they don't bolt. Everything is welded nowadays, apparently. Mr. Quayle, doing away with the 7-day test so the cases aren't picked up and adding to our running totals. I think Gaz says Mr. Quayle should suspend off-island travel for a month to manage infections, not manage the figures. Most of the UK is going to be in lockdown anyway. I do hope Howard Quayle closes our border before we get community transmission. Don't leave it too late like happened in March. I think it's only a matter of time before we get COVID back in our community. So back to level 5, please, says that correspondent as well. Chris said, can you tell me when teachers were elevated to the dizzy heights of holding us to ransom? The current and proposed industrial action, I think, is sickening. It appears now more than ever, majority of teachers are in the role for the money, targeting the long holidays, high financial return, as opposed to the calling of educating our youth. I think we should replace the lot, says Chris, obviously volunteering to be a teacher. Well, that's your personal opinion. Probably most teachers do go in it because they like the job and they like educating people. You're not denying that people should be paid the going rate for the job, really. You're not surely suggesting that someone should take a financial loss merely for working in a job that they like. Where does that lead? We've had a message in from Ramsey Group Practice. They want to tell you that the flu clinic's open till 6 o'clock today at the Ramsey Courthouse. That's the flu clinic, the Ramsey Group Practice flu clinic, open at Ramsey Courthouse till 6 today. I got a letter in from a lady in England. She said, I was listening to the man in line today. First of all, she said, please don't tell anybody who I am. I'll respect that, certainly. The lady who called in about the hospital seems unable to cope in the event of a serious COVID outbreak. This is a call we had a week ago or so. I'd like her to reflect on the staff at Nobles. Now, a lot of the staff from Nobles are from across the water. They have family off the island who they haven't seen for months. My daughter is one of those people who works in Nobles. And morale can quickly deteriorate at a time like this. All my siblings also live on the Isle of Man. Some of them aren't in very good health. I applied on compassionate grounds to visit my siblings and my daughter, and I've been turned down. This is a lady who lives in North Wales. She said, I've been turned down. I'd have no problem self-isolating. I'd do it for 3 weeks if I had to. I think COVID is here for a very long time. We've had to deal with it. Whilst waiting for a vaccine, what comes across sometimes is that people only care for themselves and don't have compassion for other people, which isn't the Manx people I know, says that lady from North Wales. So unable to come to the Isle of Man, unable to come to visit her daughter, who works in the health service, and unable to work come and visit her siblings because she's been turned down. Maybe it's time for the Manx government to put together a temporary isolation centre, perhaps down at the sea terminal, maybe some sort of porter cabin so that they can call key workers to stay, maybe for the first 7 days of entry on the Isle of Man. Just a thought, says Lee. Interestingly, however, some of the key workers come and go in 2 or 3 days. So that protocol they have of key workers literally coming to the airport or to the sea terminal, going to where they're staying, doing their job for 2 days, and in the meantime, sleeping where they're supposed to sleep, and going there. If you add 7 days isolation, that's going to make it it's going to make it a lot more expensive, and probably we're going to have to pay for that as well. There's a story that you may be familiar with as well about three prisoners convicted and sentenced on the Isle of Man, but who were transferred to prisons in the UK to serve their sentences. Those three prisoners now have been returned to Jerby, to the prison on the Isle of Man. The Home Affairs Minister, Graham Crojean, MHK, says their return may be unsettling for the community. Do you know who we're talking about? Ewan Gorn's got the details.
Well, we know, as you mentioned there, Sean, that all three of the prisoners are classified as Category B or below. Their names haven't been released and are unlikely to be released, I should say. In the release issued by government, they say the prison service is fully equipped to provide rehabilitation to prisoners, including those who've been convicted of serious crimes. It goes on to say Isle of Man prisoners held in UK prisons do return to the island periodically as part of their visitation rights and are held at the Isle of Man prison in Jerby. I think tellingly, perhaps, is the comments from the Minister for Home Affairs, Graham Crojean, when he says he understands why this might be unsettling. He says plans have been ongoing for this for some time, but they were paused due to COVID. He says the prison and the Home Affairs Department is conscious of the victims and their families and the impact that decisions of this nature may have. He says they've worked to ensure as best they can that the victims or the loved ones affected by this decision have been informed.
So why has this happened? Why is this happening now?
According to the department, the repatriation of individuals to the prison will ensure the service can take a lead role in rehabilitation programs, which work to minimise the risk of re-offending should parole be granted in future. This includes detailed risk assessments and a bespoke programme of intervention, they say. The final comment, bringing these UK-based offenders back, they say, means the risk of them being released in the UK and subsequently travelling back to the island without the police, probation service or the victims and their families being informed is removed in this instance.
Any thoughts on this? It's a heavy subject. These three prisoners convicted and sentenced on the Isle of Man transferred to the UK to serve their sentences back to the Isle of Man. Any thoughts on 66 13 68? Email studio@manxradio.com or text 166 177. And as I mentioned, we're watching that situation with Edinburgh Woolen Mill filing to appoint administrators. They're the people who own Timor Mills.
Set in a beautifully restored Manx barn, just a mile from St John's on the Patrick Road, the cafe at Close Lease Farm isn't just another cafe. With 28 Great Taste Awards, it's a real destination for lovers of fine food. Whether breakfast, lunch, functions or private hire, we celebrate Manx ingredients by using produce from Close Lease Farm and across the island. Also visit the farm shop, where you can buy some of our award-winning produce to enjoy at home. For opening times and more, visit closeleasefarm.com or find us on Facebook.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skip for bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skip for what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Heritage Open Days are back. Celebrate the Isle of Man's outstanding heritage, history and culture with over 80 free guided walks, talks and events during the island's biggest heritage festival. Taking place during the first 2 weekends of October, Heritage Open Days is the perfect opportunity to explore unique places and spaces up and down the island, including some you may have never seen before. Find out more at manxnationalheritage.im.
Local business, Nicola Bowker. Need an accountant? Nicola Bowker. Want accounts you can trust? Nicola Bowker. Whether a sole trader or large company, for your free initial meeting, call Nicola Bowker today on 861 271.
Investing in life pays off. You invest in your health and education. You invest in your relationships and happiness. You invest in family and friends. But when did you last invest in your wealth?
For over 70 years, Ramsay Crookall has been the island's trusted investment specialist, offering a wide range of managed services to make your money work harder. Invest some time in your wealth with Ramsay Crookall. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Despite dark nights and chilly weather, Millichaps will help you stay cosy for less. At the Millichaps Autumn Sale, we've great savings on stressless chairs with free leather care kits. There's up to 20% off Parker Knoll. Amazing savings on sofas and beds you thought you could only dream of. And free underlay on selected sumptuous carpeting. Plus many more store-wide reductions at the Millichaps Autumn Sale.
Millichaps of Ramsey.
Another weekend means another chance to win here on Manx Radio. And this time, we could be sending you to the north of the island with £200 to spend at Millichaps of Ramsey. Their autumn sale is now on with a huge number of bargains in store. If you fancy getting your hands on the voucher, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in a draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to win with Millichaps of Ramsey. Here on the Nation Station.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
25 past 12. Teachers in it for the money and the holidays. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. says Sue. I think Sue's a teacher. I think it was disgusting, says another correspondent. The examiner put the pages, the pictures of those men who were sent to prison. So why didn't they put pictures of local people from the Isle of Man that broke isolation? If you're going to put the photos of those people from Doncaster, why not put the other photos? Be even-handed about it. Jane said, well, that lady who didn't want to be named hit the nail on the head. People only want to think of themselves. It's exactly what she's doing, says Jane, putting her desires above the needs of the whole island. So many ways to communicate now. It's hard, but it's right. The government has the balance right, and at least we know the rules. We're not chopping and changing across. And obviously, thank you, Jane, for that point. Somebody had to make a decision. And the lady from North Wales, whose daughter works in the health service here and who has siblings on the Isle of Man, was turned down on compassionate grounds to come and see. And obviously, at some point, we'll probably know how many people have been turned down and how many people have been allowed to come and exactly what the compassionate grounds are. I thought 7-day testing process worked really well, says this correspondent. A risk-based approach. It enabled many workers to get back to work in the second week, although I appreciate some employers required returning employees to stay away for the full 14 days. I think it's a backward step to lose that 7-day test. I just wonder what you think about that. Thank you, John, for that point. I just wonder whether you think that taking that 7-day test away is a step too far? Is it erring on the side of caution? Or were we coping with it okay? Just a thought. And of course, this is all about perception. It's how you see things. So it came through yesterday when talking to the students of King William's College about what it was that they perceived. And just interesting to hear their comments about how they thought the government had handled the situation. With all the students, we didn't spot any. There was no dissent whatsoever. Nobody said it could have been handled better or we think it was wrong. And I don't think they were just being polite. The teaching profession, it would seem, can mostly be done online, says this correspondent. Time to phase teachers' jobs out. As one top-grade tutor online, it'll be better than many average ones seeking terms and conditions that can't be sustained. This teaching dispute now has been on since before COVID. It's pre-COVID. It's BC, before COVID. And now the NASUWT, National Association of School Teachers, National Association of School Masters, Union of Women Teachers, say they're not going to cover for other teachers. You know, sometimes when one teacher's away, somebody else covers. Well, members of that unit aren't going to do it. So inevitably, it's going to be impacting on pupils and exactly which teachers they get. But, we've had a new education minister. Mr. Cregeen moved to Home Affairs. Dr. Allenson came in. We've lost the chief executive of the education department. Professor Barr has gone. And the education dispute still seems to rumble on. It just you kind of wonder who the education unions want to get rid of. Can we get students back? So by getting rid of a COVID 7-day test, we'll keep positive cases almost at zero. In theory, there's no need to travel to go to level 5, I think. You just wonder what will happen. When the students come back at Christmas, exactly how that's going to be handled, really, and how much self-isolation they're going to have to do. Well, certainly more than 7 days. Lots of people, by the way, if you're thinking of sending me the Angry Yorkshireman YouTube video, we've seen it many times. You don't need to send it anymore. The Angry Yorkshireman, who I'm sure is only doing it for clickbait and making money off Google ads. Very funny, not terribly truthful, not terribly fact-based, shall we say. Teachers never mention that they pay Manx income tax, which is much lower than in the UK, says Brian. Well, everybody's aware of this. Everybody's aware of what the situation is with schools on the Isle of Man as opposed to schools in the UK. Everybody's aware of the standards of living on the Isle of Man. Everybody's aware about the tax on the Isle of Man. But the fact remains, there aren't enough teachers. They can't recruit teachers on the Isle of Man. They just aren't enough teachers on the Isle of Man, just like there aren't enough nurses, there aren't enough dentists, there aren't enough GPs on the Isle of Man. Recruiting people to come to the Isle of Man sometimes will need, they'll need a financial incentive to come to the Isle of Man. We've talked about TT as well and whether TT's going to go ahead. Do you remember this time last week, Alfred Cannon was on the Man in Line saying something's got to be done, really, and Council of Ministers is looking at it all the time as to when the decision's going to make. Probably before Christmas, something has got to be done, obviously, because of the situation with marshals, licensing, sponsors, media. Everything's got to happen. But one thing's guaranteed. The scoreboard's going. If you're driving on Glencrutchery Road in Douglas in the coming weeks, you'll notice a familiar sight disappear. So if you haven't got a photo or a video of the scoreboard, get one now. The iconic TT scoreboard, or sorry, the leaderboard as it's known, at the grandstand is going. It's been taken down. Apparently it's beyond repair. The historic structure got a visitor recently. Alex Watton was there with a microphone.
During the world-famous fortnight, the scoreboard can be seen scattered with Manx scouts, undoubtedly the main and unique event of the group's calendar. And up to 70 scouts work all at once to manually update the race times and all the places of the riders. But despite its 100-year history, what you see today isn't its original form, as the curator of social history at Manx National Heritage, Matthew Richardson, explains.
The scoreboard that stood on this site since 1920 has varied. The one that we see today is not that same scoreboard that was there in 1920. It's gone through various incarnations. It's gone through various rebuilds. If you look at some of the 1920s photographs, there was actually a gantry that came out over the road, probably to enable the press box so that the reporters could see who was coming and going. They also had, at one point, a series of shelves so that the original TT trophies were displayed during the race so that you could actually see the trophies that you were racing for.
As the structure as we now know it is to come down, key parts of it are actually going to Manx National Heritage to be preserved and displayed. And now designs are being looked at with the help of the Manx Scouts Association for a new structure. Member of the Department for Enterprise, Rob Callister, told me why it's no longer fit for purpose.
The steel structure was pretty much corroded and just non-repairable. All the wood was rotten. So we have to look at different options going into the future. We then went out to consultation. We found that around 74% of those responded wanted a like-for-like new scoreboard. And we obviously can't repair this one. We have to think of providing a new scoreboard at some point in the future. We then spoke to other stakeholders, and one of the key stakeholders in that is the Scouts Association. They also wanted the feel and the look of the scoreboard to retain, but they also wanted more technology possibly to be added.
I asked Manx Scout Commissioner Mike Southall how significant the scoreboard's continued use is to them.
Very important. It's traditional. And obviously the scoreboard has to be renewed. It's gone past its sell-by date and everybody realises that. But we're very much involved with the new scoreboard or the proposed new scoreboard and how it's going to operate in the future.
And you can see those interviews and the scoreboard as it currently stands on a video featured on the Manx Radio Facebook page.
I wonder what the new one's going to look like. Obviously, don't you think the nature of it changed when they put that net up in front of it? It didn't look like the old one, but now there's going to be a new one, and that's the situation. The Millennium Bridge in Douglas is going to be temporarily closed this weekend. The 10th and 11th of October, it's going to be closed periodically, not all the time, but periodically. There are temporary closures between 8 and 5 this weekend and also in a couple of weeks' time. There are overnight closures, really, through until the 28th of this month from 8 p.m. to 3 a.m. But there are two weekends where it's closed. This weekend is the first one, and a couple of weeks' time, the weekend, the clocks go back for another one. So 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. on the 10th of October and the 11th of October, and 8 till 5 on the 24th and 25th of October. Parking suspended, by the way, on the northwest side of Quine's Corner during the work from the junction with North Quay to the point opposite the junction with Queen Street. So obviously the purpose, really, they're doing up the flap gate bridge and flapgate maintenance by DOI. So it's temporary closures until the 28th of this month, weekdays from 8 at night till 3 in the morning, and this weekend certainly from 8 until 5. These are just temporary closures, so if you get caught up in a traffic jam, you'll know exactly what it is. Hi, Andy. Trying to issue a low-profile statement about prisoners and their classification can have an adverse effect, I think. In that just stating Category B and below surely means Category A and Category B. Now, looking at the classification doesn't read well, really, for Category A. Does the Isle of Man prison have the facilities to house Category A prisoners long-term? Category A high-security prisons, that is. They house male prisoners who, if they were to escape, pose the most threat to the public, police or national security. Category B prisons are either local or training prisons, and local prisons house prisoners that are taken directly from court in the local area, sentenced or on remand, and training prisons hold long-term and high-security prisoners. Well, this is the story that three prisoners who've been sentenced in the Isle of Man and kept in UK prisons are now back on the Isle of Man. And if you look in the newspapers, I don't want to sensationalise this because we don't really want to do that. I don't want to cause anybody any anguish where this is concerned, because obviously the circumstances around the crimes were horrendous. But they are back on the Isle of Man, and Mr. Grigin said, really, in his statement, said that it's possibly better that they are on the Isle of Man, because any parole or release would be better held on the Isle of Man than elsewhere. Well, if you've got any thoughts on that, text, email or call on the three prisoners coming back. If we go to level five, then students won't be able to travel back at Christmas, because it can't be one law for one and not for the other. Well, I'm sure if they have to self-isolate for 2 weeks, then surely they can, Mary, if the government's going to allow students back. But they will have to self-isolate. Some may choose not to, obviously, but some may want to do that. Students, like everybody else, says Bob, can do the full 14-day self-isolation or face the penalty. Not let off, as rumoured. Well, we'll see. I think the benchmark has been set for whether people are going to be let off self-isolating as well. A note in that just says, in yesterday's update, the Chief Minister was very emphatic, says Pam. Returning local students for Christmas will have to do 14 days self-isolation. No ifs, buts or maybes, 14 days self-isolation. And Adam's with us. Good afternoon, Adam.
Good afternoon, Andy. You all right?
Me? I'm really happy. And what about yourself?
Yeah, I'm all right too, thanks. I'm just ringing up about David Christian. We haven't heard anything yet about what happened to the rest of the Festoon fairy lights. Because we know he said he put some in Summerhill Glen and he put some on North Quay, but there was over 3 miles of fairy lights taken down when they removed them from Douglas Promenade. And I've asked several times what happened to them, and I haven't had or seen any responses in any of the island's media about it. So I'm just concerned, you know, whether we're getting an answer from Mr. Christian about what's happened to them.
I think he probably... I'm not going to speak for Mr. Christian. We've asked him to come on the Man in Line a few times, but... He's not shown up yet, but I mean, Mr. Christian would probably say he said all he's got to say on the matter.
Yeah, but he hasn't told us what's happened to the rest of them, because he said he put some on North Quay, and North Quay's not all that long, and he put some in Summerhill Glen, and Summerhill Glen's not all that large, and it already had Festoon fairy lights, so presumably there must have been some left over as he took over 3 miles worth down, which must have gone somewhere else. Unless I'm mistaken.
And what would you think he should do then with the leftover festoon lights?
I think he should put them back up on the promenade between the, because he's only having lights on the seaward side of the promenade, so he should have at least 1.5 miles worth of lights to put back up between the new lights on the promenade. And in other resorts in the south of England, they've also got new LED lighting schemes with very similar columns to the ones we've got, and they have retained their festoon fairy lights. So I don't see why it can't be done in the Isle of Man.
How's the petition going?
It's going very well. We've got over 2,000 signatures, I think it is roughly 2,000 now online, and several more hundred in the paper copy of the petition, which finished last week. and we'll probably be winding up the online petition next week and handing it in subsequently to the corporation, the chief executive at the corporation. But it'd be nice to hear from Mr. Christian and have an answer as to where the rest of the fairy lights have gone.
OK, Adam. Well, I mean, my invitation goes out to, well, all politicians, to be quite honest, because we've got a big, we've got local elections on the way. We've also got keys next year as well. All politicians are more than welcome to come on the Man in Line and chat to the population and to the voters. And Mr. Christian, obviously, is a very senior politician. He's been in charge in Douglas now for well over 20, 25-odd years. It'd be nice to hear from Mr. Christian.
It would, definitely.
OK, thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Andy.
Cheers. All right. I can only speak for myself, says this correspondent. The teachers in the school where my children go, and they do nothing compared to the teachers that my sister's children go to in Liverpool. Teachers, I think, only want things for themselves. I don't think teachers have got thought for children's education. Children have already lost 3 months of education. Now they're going to lose more. I think the head of the teachers' union needs to go and get someone else who is reasonable in their demands. Well, the head of the teachers' union is a misnomer. There are five of them. Five unions, mostly competing unions, obviously, because unions do compete for members. Because that's where the union leaders get their money from. Obviously, the subscriptions that are paid in go to finance the union, and a lot of the union leaders are full-time employees with healthy emoluments. So there are more than one union, and it seems. And again, I've asked the education unions. I would love to get the education unions on the Man in Line, but on one proviso: they all have to show up. Not just one, not just two, not just three, not just four, but all of them. If all the teachers' unions could come in and we could make some sense of what it is they actually want. Is it money they want? Is it better terms they want? Is it more holiday? What is it that the education unions want? They've effectively seen one minister moved. They've effectively seen a chief executive go. So now what is it that the unions want? And can the education system return to normal, where the emphasis is obviously on the welfare of the students and the quality of education? Students returning no more than 2 months away. It seems to me that the next confirmed case, I think, will come from a key worker, says this correspondent, John, and the public's response will be very interesting. Maybe the Isle of Man should show the way by phasing in teachers using technology, as we know, jumping forward in leaps and bounds since COVID-19. Fewer teachers would be required, and of course that would be the quality teachers. And yes, it may well be the case that the quality teachers are worthy of a pay rise. Well, interesting, and it was interesting yesterday to talk to the students at King William's College about those virtual classes that they got and whether or not they work. I don't know what your opinions are on virtual teaching as opposed to actual, what they used to call chalk and board teaching, where a teacher stands in front of the class and teaches. My daughter's almost 16, lives in the UK, and I asked if she can come over and was told no because she's not a Manx resident. My son, who gets a COVID test twice a week at work, has been declined. He lives in London. I've also got a daughter in Ireland who's at university but has lived there for 5 years. She did 3 years at college as well. She can't come over. Yet I've seen photos of people who've been to visit family, and I know it wasn't for compassionate ground. How can the Cabinet Office say yes to one family and no to another? Well, it would be interesting to know what exactly the criterion is, the various criteria where somebody can come over for compassionate grounds or somebody can't. If you, by the way, are in a family where somebody has been allowed to come over for compassionate reasons, no names, no pack drill, but if you could tell us what the deciding factor was, we'd love to know. 1:15 on the Man in Line now.
Office World at Spring Valley is the island's largest one-stop shop for packaging materials. We stock everything from huge rolls of bubble wrap to single envelopes, padded bags, mailing tubes, labels, packaging tape, storage boxes, and much more. Office World has everything you need to package your goods safely and securely. Office World is also home to the island's largest stationery store, with over 4,000 products under one roof, with free parking right outside the front door. It has to be Office World at Spring Valley Estate, Braddon.
The Welbeck Hotel Restaurant, on the corner of Mona and Empress Drive, is still open from 5 to 9.30 daily, from 12 on Sundays. And you can now bring your dog for our great staycation offers, with a 10% discount from the a la carte menu during the VAT reduction period. And you can book your pre-Christmas lunch or dinner. Look out on Facebook for our speciality evenings, including Thursday steak night and the veggie vegan menu on the third Friday of every month. Call the Welbeck on 675663.
If a holiday is no longer on the cards for you this year, perhaps it's time to treat yourself another way. Redecorate your home with help from Swales Flooring in Laxey. Stocking trusted brands including Antico and Cars Flooring, designed to last and impress. Swales are also the sole island distributor for Farrow and Ball, the traditional wallpaper and paint specialists. And if your home is already blessed with original wood flooring, talk to us about how we can restore them to their former glory. Visit the Swales showroom or call 861 542.
Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer. Yay! Your movers are here. They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week.
Call 675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
Now at ShopRite, you can get our low prices on your favourite national brands. Or you could switch and save with our huge range of buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 50%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
Entrust, secure, develop. These are the cornerstones of Harding Lewis, because as an experienced firm of chartered accountants, their service is of the highest standard. Nothing is too much trouble, and they will endeavour to do whatever it takes to achieve your goals, starting with a free meeting and a cup of coffee. Harding Lewis will look after you and your business as if it were their own. Come see why our clients see us as more than just accountants and visit hardinglewis.com today. See more, do more. Together.
Going back in time on the sounds of the nation, it's the Caroline Flashback.
Later in the day, the town would be invaded by about 5,000 mods and rockers.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Chris Williams.
This is the medium wave service of Banks Radio, the first ever station to be authorized to broadcast in the medium wave band with a local commercial service for the people of the Isle of Man.
Saturday mornings, 8:30.
Station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Good afternoon. It's 11 minutes to one. Lots of correspondence in today on the text and email. Good afternoon. Regarding the teacher situation, says Pete, a Manx tax. The cost of living is much higher in the Isle of Man than in the UK. Are the teachers' wages higher in the Isle of Man? I'd love to see the pastoral care and private discussions with individuals about their work, which is a big part of teaching done online. You can't do pastoral care online. You can't do private discussions, multi-way discussions with individuals online. Also, teaching primary children to read, write, online, not a chance. Also, clubs like choir, sport, and many other social activities, which are often after school. I do wish that critics will get their facts straight. Maybe volunteer in a school for a while and get a true picture, says Two. Certainly, all the social aspects of school. Doing it online, well, and also, really, what are schools for? are there to educate, to socialise children, and how much of that could be done online? The gentleman had a good idea this morning, says Tricia. Sell parts of the scoreboard off and make money towards the new one. We could all have part of the scoreboard in our back gardens, couldn't we? Teachers in dire need of a pay rise? I don't think so, says anonymous correspondent. Why would anybody worry what a teacher's paid? Teachers' pay is set by pay tribunals. It's a spine. Teachers aren't self-employed. They don't negotiate their own pay individually. Teachers' pay is all set out. Worrying about what teachers get paid is like worrying about the sun coming up in the morning. Teachers get paid what teachers get paid. It's agreed between the education department and the teaching unions. And remember what the Treasury Minister, Alfred Cannon, had to say a few months ago when Dr. Alex Allenson took over Education, Sport and Culture Minister. He said quite emphatically, Dr. Allenson, there's no more money. Andy, your listener made a valid point in your interviews at KWC, pointed out that teaching is becoming more and more online. Teaching in classes, I think, will no longer be viable, really, in respect of COVID, says John. What about all those that had jobs in entertainment, recreation and leisure industries? They'll have to retrain for real jobs, productive jobs, and there'll be less of the original jobs needed in the future, says David. My word. Try telling someone in entertainment, recreation and leisure that their job isn't a real job. It's Mary again. I'm just going to say, if the borders are closed, then the borders are closed, whether you're a student or a doctor or anything else. So surely you shouldn't be allowed back because you can bring COVID back with you, says Mary. Well, the borders aren't closed at the moment. So we'll see what happens at Christmas when the students come back. I saw the leftover festoon lights get shredded in a scrapyard. I think you're winding me up and everyone else. Derek says, you always try and silence the man campaigning to save our beautiful festoon lights. Do I? The fairy lights should line every coast on the island. We need answers from Mr. Christian because the festoon lights are part of our heritage, Derek in Douglas. Derek, I'm sure if you pop down to the town hall in Ridgeway Street, Mr. Christian will be delighted to have a chat with you. Adam, I think there are much more important matters going on the island than blooming fairy lights, says that correspondent in capital letters. And another one in just to say, could you let me where the lights have gone as well so I can go and push them off the end of the pier, says Steve. I read somewhere that assaults on police and possibly other emergency workers are going up. Is any wonder when the punishments rarely involve a custodial sentence and not a suspended one? So the deterrent effect of a serious punishment is ineffective. That's John in Uncle. We had that report a while ago that assaults, not attacks, but assaults on emergency workers had gone up during the lockdown. We didn't get too much detail about it, and I know the newsroom were trying to get to the bottom of that. John said, regarding those lovely festoon lights, 2,000 signatures to retain them, therefore over 80,000 people don't care. And regarding the TT scoreboards, this is Andy in, says, if the DOI had undertaken effective planned preventative maintenance instead of a quick lick of paint just before the TT, the scoreboards could have been retained. You may well remember they used to be taken down and put into storage each year after the MGP. Sad, isn't it, as well? Muriel said, Andy, the teachers don't want to get rid of anybody. They want the Isle of Man government to pay the money they're entitled to following the last pay award. As far as I know, mate, Muriel, they got the money. They were given the pay award. At the moment, this seems to be about conditions. In fact, nobody quite knows what it's about. Whether the unions are actually telling the government what it's about, nobody's telling us. Because when you talk to one union, it's one thing. When you talk to another union, it's another thing. Talk to another union, and it's another thing. And they did say that there were personalities involved. Now, whether or not anybody got rid of anybody, we don't know. but the chief executive of the education department left rather quickly. And the education minister did move and become Home Affairs Minister. And we now have a relatively new education minister. You can read into that whatever you will. Justice for Adam, the festoon man. Mr. Christian should have a light bulb moment and bring the festoon lights back. Mr. Christian, I think, has already made the decision. The council have made their decision. I don't think this is a movable feast. I don't think this is a running commentary subject. I don't think the festoon lights are going to come back. I think the new lights will be back with us when the promenade reopens just before Easter next year. Well, they're saying just before Easter next year. Who knows? That may slip. But we'll have to judge the new lights on Douglas Promenade when they arrive. Like everything else regarding rules on COVID coming back to the Isle of Man, says Paul, it's complex. Surely if you have an Isle of Man passport, you have the right to return to your homeland. If you want to get in touch with the Man in Line Out of Hours, email maninline@manxradio.com. You can call the answer phone on 682-631. Thanks to our studio producer today, Barry Redfern. I'm Andy Wint, and the Man in Line is back Monday, 12 midday.
The Ramsey Garden Centre sale is now on, featuring a huge range of garden items at vastly reduced prices. Don't delay. Grab a garden bargain now. There has never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week on Albert Road, Ramsey.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682-631.
For pizza, I settle for nothing less than the best. Pizza Napoli, with their wood-fired oven pizza that cooks in just 90 seconds once they've made it up. Nothing frozen, nothing microwaved. It makes me feel like I'm here in Italia, eating a delicious, authentic, tasting pizza in a cobbled square with music and...
Did you order from Pizza Napoli again?
It's free contactless delivery over £15. Call Douglas 813 100. Pizza Napoli in Ramsey and Douglas.
You wouldn't throw your money down the drain, so why pay over the odds for your car and van insurance? Blackford & Company's car and van insurance is designed for Isle of Man residents, with local service and internet prices. Blackford & Company believe this is their best car and van insurance yet. So if you're aged between 21 and 80, call today on 832 042 or go to manxcover.com. Don't delay, call Blackford's today. Why pay more when you can pay less? Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Kids invading conference calls is not the only problem people have working from home. But the real concern for many is that working remotely just doesn't match the performance of the office. IOM Cloud provides solutions to make working from home easy without sacrificing security or performance, allowing seamless working wherever you are. Call 62 49 50 or visit iomcloud.com and receive your first 3 months free. Make remote working work with IOM Cloud.
The Qplus sale is now on. Come and visit the island's most extensive bathroom showroom for up to 50% off in the Crosswater Super Sale and up to 50% off in the Big Bathroom Sale across the Burlington, Clearwater and Britain ranges. With massive savings and more than 50 inspirational displays, now is the time to visit Qplus on Snugborough Trading Estate.
Hello there, yes, it's Bernie Quayle here. No, I'm not coming back to Manx Radio because I'm too busy getting spoiled up here in Ramsey at Croven Court Residential Home. And I understand you could get spoiled too. As I've heard, there are a few places still available. Join me in getting spoiled with fabulous food, beautiful rooms, super friendly staff and excellent care.
Just call 610-121 to arrange a visit.
The all-new Wineright Neighbourhood Food Stall, Victoria Road, Douglas, for spur-of-the-moment foodies. Amazing quality wines and champagne, plus the perfect shepherd's pie, yours in minutes. Park, pick, go.
And thanks very much indeed to Andy for the man in line as ever. It is a Friday, of course, so we won't be back tomorrow, but he will be back on Monday. In the meantime, 682-631 is the number to ring. Coming up, she's back with her Ritz crackers. Christy and myself on Late Lunch. Now on smartphone apps.